Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 24 of the Double Knit Podcast. We took kind of an inadvertent long break there.
Yeah, well, we were saving ourselves for Sock Summit.
Yeah.
So Erin and I both went to the Sock Summit this weekend. I was there for the whole thing. I went down to Portland on Wednesday night. On Thursday, I took an all-day class with Lucy Needby, and I got to go to the preview of the market. I didn't go to the opening ceremony. And then on Friday, I had a Judith McKenzie McCune spinning class in the morning. And
I got there in the evening.
Yeah, you got there
at
in the
like
evening.
Six, so then just in time for yummy dinner.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So then you came in to drop off your spinning wheel. Right. And I met up with you and Laura and Almiriam.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Had really good tapas.
So. Yes, we did have really good tapas.
It's a good beginning to my weekend off.
Yeah. And then I also took a class on Saturday. I did an all-day sock design class with Ann Hansen. So, and then I also went to the Luminary panel on Sunday evening after Erin had already headed back to Seattle. Did you want to just talk about what we saw and what we bought?
Okay.
There was a lot of buying.
So Saturday morning I went and had breakfast with my friends who has a baby that's a few months younger than Audrey. And then I went and... on my way back to the convention center, Rebecca texted me and was like, oh my God, when are you getting here? You have to stop me.
Yeah, it was kind of, the market was insanely large. I mean, it was much bigger than I was anticipating. It was at least, what would you say, like three times the size of the Madrona market?
At least.
At least.
So, yeah, I made the mistake Friday before I headed down. It looking at the map, and I was like, oh my God.
I just looked at the list, and I was kind of overwhelmed. Like, they're going to be there? Because
they had over 100 vendors.
Yeah. It was, and it was, they were from, like, all over, too.
Yeah.
Because usually for Madrona or, I mean, some of the other festivals we have around here.
They're more local.
Local, or at least West Coast. But, I mean, Kitchen Sink Dye Works is from Alabama, and there were yarn shops that were there from the Midwest.
Yeah.
Webbs was there from the East Coast. I mean, it was pretty insane. I mean,
yeah,
they
Steve
were
and Kathy Elkin, the owners, were the ones who checked me out. So I was like, I recognize your names.
Yeah.
It was crazy, and like, I luckily had kind of an idea of what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I set up guidelines for myself, so did not buy anything we could get through the store.
Yeah.
And I only went for semi-solids or solids. Because that's what I'm super into right now. And I had cash except for my largest purchases, which was Miss Babs.
Yeah.
Which I went back to on Sunday.
Yeah. There was a lot. I took a picture of you in the Miss Babs booth, and I think Rebecca also did on a separate occasion.
Yeah.
Erin had a lot of quality time with Miss Babs.
I did. And I talked to her on Sunday.
Yeah.
I was like, I love your yarn. Your monochromes are gorgeous.
Yeah, they are. I had, like, no guidelines for myself because I was like, I don't really need that much sock yarn. I have a ton of sock yarn. And I was in preparation for Sock Summit. I thought, you know, I'll get some sock knitting ready. And I looked on Ravelry, and I haven't completed a pair of socks since June of 2008. And before that, I used to do, like, a pair a month.
Yeah. Like, you always had a pair on the
always.
Needles when I started going to
And I have
girly
a pair
girls.
On the... I started a pair back in December, and those are the ones I worked at Sock Summit. But actually, now, I mean, it's kind of silly. I worked on them all weekend, and I think I'm just going to tear them out, because I don't think I have enough yarn to finish them, and B, they're looking kind of big. I don't know. I need to try them on.
That's one of the Nancy Bush patterns, right?
It's from one of the ones from Knitting Vintage Socks, where it's like the gentleman's stocking and something,
her
something.
Her yardage is high on all those, because they're taller socks.
Yeah, but this was the skein that I used for the background, or the pattern color in my Subu Modern.
Oh.
So I've used a bit of it. And I think if I were just, I don't know, I need to weigh it and figure out how much I have. I mean, I think there's enough there to make a pair of socks. I just don't think
that
I'm on
pattern.
The right track for it with these. Or at the very least, I definitely need to get something else to put in the heels and toes. And plus, it's not inspiring me that much. I like the colorway a lot, but I don't love it in the pattern. And I think I need to pull it out and do something that has me excited. After the... what was it? Was it on Saturday night? I think I had a dream, or Sunday night.
Yeah.
I had a dream that I knit a pair of socks in a day, and I was like, "Yeah, that's what I need to be able to do to get through this." Because I ended up... The only thing I planned on getting when I went there was a mug from Jenny the Potter. Uh-huh. Because I skipped getting a mug from her when I was at knitting camp. Because I figured it'd be easier to, you know, drive it home than fly it home. And that was it. Like, you know, I didn't have any other plans.
And you ended up with more than that.
I ended up with so much stuff. I went to Miss Babs. That was one of my first ones. And I bought on the first day. Well, at Jenny's booth, I bought a mug. That was the first thing I did. I went to Jenny's booth because she had these limited edition Sock Summit mugs that I thought maybe I'd want. But when I saw them, they were socks, and I really love her sheep. So I got instead
her sheep are really cute.
Her sheepy mugs with a green ball of yarn, and I was very happy with that. But she had these beautiful buttons in this kind of dark tealish blue.
Pretty.
Square buttons, a full card of them, and so I got those, and then. I wasn't even thinking about it. Then I went to Miss Babs, and she had all that 3-ply sport weight on sale, because she's starting to do a new put-up with it, a bigger put-up, I think.
So, I thought she was changing her base yarn to a thicker. That's what I thought I heard
her say. I thought she said she was changing the put-up.
Oh, I thought she wanted a thicker sport weight.
I don't know.
It's one of the two.
We'll find out. So I bought a sweater's worth of the sport weight in a denim color, which is a very dark kind of teal blue. And it wasn't until later I was showing people my purchases that I realized that the buttons exactly match the yarn. I mean, they're like perfect. So that's obviously all going to go together. And I even have an inkling of an idea. I think I'm going to do something based on the short sleeve pink sweater that's in that Japanese book we were talking about.
Yeah.
That has like a seed stitch border and just cables. A little cable down the front.
That'll be super cute.
And then...
Because you showed it to me because I didn't go to the marketplace Friday. You were showing me everything you bought. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah. And then I kind of like went crazy. I don't know. I sort of like bit by bit.
I did too.
I definitely wanted to, you know, only focus... I mean, only get yarns that are from indies that you can't get in shops.
Yeah.
So, I got a skein of hazelnuts in a color called Blacklight, which is like a really dark, dark
hazelnuts
purpley.
And too.
You did a lot of damage in hazelnuts.
Well,
no. Did you get like 3 or 4 skeins of
hers? I got 2 skeins, and I got a little kit, because she had those hat kits.
Right.
So I got one of those for Audrey, because they were $8, which is super good for like the pattern and the little bit of yarn, because then I wouldn't have to use like a whole skein of yarn and then be like, what the hell am I doing with the rest of it?
Sorry, my sweater just
fuzzed.
Like a big ball of fuzz just blew up my sweater.
Got a skein of the limited edition color that's based on Aurora Borealis, but it's darker, less green, and then the J blue, that super bright saturated blue.
And I seem to have been attracted to really shiny yarns. Well, ones
like
with
bamboo
or
tencel.
I saw a skein. Well, I just was at Dye Dreams and they had like a sale box, and I can't remember why they said they were... It was a discontinued color, and it was, like, so me. It was, like, this kind of olive-ish green in a merino tencel. So it was shiny and beautiful and on sale. And so I was like, okay, that's coming home with me. You know, what was interesting going from booth to booth was that you could see that almost everyone is using the same base yarns.
Yes.
Everyone had that really tight twist, really, really skinny BFL super wash.
Yeah, I got some of that.
And I got some of it too. Well,
we bought it together.
At Dye Dreams, I got 2 skeins.
Red, red wine. And mine was olive.
Yes, they look very pretty together. And I'm thinking shawl with it instead of socks.
Yeah, me too. And I was like, it's like our tapas dinner.
Yeah. But, you know, everyone had that base. Everyone had the same
merino
tencel, merino cashmere nylon blend, merino bamboo nylon blend. I mean, it was like you could see, you know, looking at skein to skein, you could see everyone's using the same base yarns.
Dye jobs were...
Yeah, it was really different.
Yeah.
Because, like, Dye Dreams does really saturated color.
Mm-hmm.
I got a skein of bamboo blend from Kitchen Sink Dye Works. In, like, you know, lighter greens. And then I found Wolf Creek, who I've looked at a lot. They have a 50-50 merino tencel. They're they're in the Northwest. And I was actually going through her booth, and I, like, turned and looked at a skein of yarn, and then I just said, are you an Oregon Flock and Fiber? And she said, yeah, I am. I'm like, okay, because I remember, like, lusting. Because she does a worsted weight 50-50 wool silk that just, like, her colors just... totally get me. And they're semi-solid. They're monochromatic, but they're kind of, you know, like you know, they have lighter and darker spots on them. I didn't get any of that, although I think that would make a gorgeous sweater, but I got a skein of her sock yarn. And then I sort of, like, everything I got sort of ended up being on the, you know, something with a little shine to it. Some bamboo. I got the bamboo blend from Lisa Souza.
Which it has really awesome yardage for the price. I was surprised.
Because it's like 400 yards for like $18 or something. It was really amazing. There was, well, okay, so one of the things that happened when the marketplace opened was there was a, like, mad dash. Everyone ran to Sanguine Griffin, which I had heard of, but, and everyone was talking about Bugga. Like, they had to get Bugga. And Bugga is, I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound dismissive of it, but it's the same cashmere merino nylon blend base that everyone else is dying.
I got mine at Tactile, because right, I love them.
Tactile has it, and Kitchen Sink Dye Works had it, and, I mean, a lot of, you know, Pagewood Farms does it. There's a lot of people who dye the same base. But Sanguine Griffin just, I mean, you know, I guess more power to them. For whatever reason, their version of this yarn is, like, the yarn right now that everyone wants to have, which means people are, like, hoarding it. So there was this huge, huge mob at their booth, and this long line with people just standing there with, like, their arms loaded with cashmere sock yarn. And by the end of the preview, they were sold out. Like, completely sold out.
Yeah, I stopped by their booth, and I liked some of their colors. They didn't have a ton of semi-solids, which is what I was going for.
Their colors are very, I mean, also very saturated, but very, I would call them, like, kind of murky.
Yeah.
Like, there's a very, like, dark, earthy. I mean, they have this whole, like, kind of medieval-y thing going on, too.
They were wearing, like, Grand Fair costumes. Victorian. One of them was more Victorian. She had, like, a bustle.
They had different stuff on different days. And then they have, like, sort of their tent that's set up, like, I mean, total, like, Grand Fair tent. So they have sort of a different thing going on. But, I don't know. I mean, I found it pretty easy to resist their stuff.
I think I went through there twice and picked up different stuff each time. And there is one that I was like, oh, this is pretty, but I don't need it.
So. Well, the other thing, too, that was funny to me, I mean, everyone, you know, does things a little bit differently in terms of all the indie dyers. But there was so much sock yarn. I mean, really, you could, like, throw a rock in any direction, you're going to hit a gorgeous skein of sock yarn.
Yeah.
So the idea of, like, getting totally fixated and obsessed on this one instead of, like, really taking it all in and exploring.
Yeah.
Oh, another booth we went to that we both got something, I think. Did you get something at Redfish?
No, I just looked at it.
Oh, okay. Redfish.
I touched all her merino silk.
I think they're probably aimed more toward weavers. They sell, like, a 22 silk, which is a very fine silk, but they also had, they had everything, like, they had, like, black backgrounds and black shelving, and then they had all the yarn dyed just, and they're all in solids in this rainbow of colors.
Yeah.
In all the different
little soft spotlights.
Yeah, it was really just, like, striking.
Beautiful.
Really gorgeous booth.
I didn't buy anything because I was like, I need a plan for this. I just don't know.
Yeah. But then they did little color packages too, where they did, like, kind of a rainbow of colors in the package. And some of those you could also get in 120 over 2 silk, which is, like, tiny. I mean, you would never knit with it.
Yeah.
Really for the weavers. And then they had a 2-ply 50-50 wool silk.
That's what I looked at.
And a 4-ply 50-50 wool silk.
And I looked at the 4-ply.
Yeah. Yes. And I got a skein of the 2-ply. Yes, I think I got a skein of the 2-ply. And they have a complimentary sock pattern, which they're supposed to email to me. I haven't gotten yet. But, again, like me with the shiny, I'm just, like, all about,
yeah,
like,
they had a beautiful booth.
Shiny things.
And, of course, I stopped at Tactile and got my skein and talked to Maya.
Hi!
And she's like, you look familiar. And I was like, Erin B. She's like, oh, Erin B. You should have just said so. Because I see her every year at Madrona and buy multiple things. And
I felt bad because I saw, in Judah's spinning class, it was about, like, luxury fibers for sock yarns. So there was a lot of cashmere and yak and silk and... And one of the things she had to spin was this 150s merino, which is, the 150 is the, what is it, the Bradford count? Basically, it's this really super, super, super fine merino.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like cashmere. And it is a dream to spin, and it was just fantastic. And I said something to Brooke about it, and she's like, oh, we have some of that. We used it for our fiber club, but we just don't have it down here. Do you want me to bring some down for you tomorrow? And I was like, do you have it in green? And she said, yeah. I was like, okay, great. And then later, I said something to someone. I'm like, and she's going to bring some down for me. And she said, what does that cost? And then I was like, I have no idea. Oops. So, it's not cashmere expensive, but it's borderline cashmere expensive. And I realized, as beautiful as the green was that they had dyed, that having dyed it, it wasn't going to be as nice to spin.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the dye changes the texture.
Well, just when you put it in water, it even, like, you know, the fibers start to get kind of, you know, messed up and misaligned. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just think I would also, just having, like, really expensive fiber like that would completely freak me out. Like, I would never spin it because I'm gonna be like, I'm going to screw it up. And then it was 2 ounces for a good chunk of change, and I'd never do anything with 2 ounces. I would want 4 ounces, and then it would be like a huge chunk. I kind of freaked myself out, so I was very apologetic for making them bring it down for me when I didn't actually end up getting it.
Let's see. Split yarn. Rebecca knows her, so we stopped by her booth, and I got one of each of her little project bags, which are super cute.
She does the little box bags that always remind me of my dad's old toiletry kit.
Yeah.
And little zipper cases.
A long pouch and then a short little pouch. So, I got one of each of those. And they're super cute and she's very nice. And then we went to that, I think it was the Twist booth? Whatever that yarn store was.
Twisted from Portland. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had the cutest buttons.
Yes.
From Heartstone. I looked it up yesterday.
Oh, right.
Heartstone Ceramics.
Yeah.
And she has an Etsy shop.
Yeah,
and they were pretty. Really well-priced.
Yes, very, very well-priced.
And really pretty cute. Packaged so cute. Everything was cute. So I got some buttons and a skein of Indigo Moon from their booth. And it's called Heart of the Forest. It's like a blackish, piney green color.
And they're a Canadian dyer, because I saw their yarns when I was in Three Bags Full when I was up in Vancouver. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I noticed really it was Canadian.
Yeah.
After I bought it, and I was like, well, cool.
Some group of friends of mine were saying, we need to make Indigo Moon the next Sanguine Griffin, like the yarn that everybody wants. And they have really beautiful pretty. Colors. And kind of that semi-solid thing.
So their Dye for Glory thing, the Coraline. Is that...
No, that was Black Trillium.
Black Trillium.
I almost got one of those, too. So the Twisted brought a lot of, like, Etsy sellers with them. And one was Black Trillium, and their Dye for Glory entry Coraline. It was more variegated than I usually knit with. It was kind of had, like, black and blue and brown in it. Mm-hmm. But it was...
It was super pretty.
It was really pretty. I'm going back to Portland.
I was going to say, you should have bought it. But
I'm going back to Portland in another week. And I'd like to visit their shop. I've heard really good things about their shop. Their shop's pretty new. So maybe I'll get to their shop and maybe pick up a skein of that. So, like I need more sock yarn. I mean, I was pretty well stocked on sock yarn before. And I can't believe anyone let me buy more green sock yarn. Because I had this point about a year ago where I thought, I don't really have any green sock yarn. I should get some. And then, you know, the universe, like, heard me and sent me, like, 8,000 skeins of green sock yarn. So now I'm, like, up to my eyes in green sock yarn.
Let's see.
Well, there was the Ravelry party.
Oh, yeah.
Should we talk about that? That was on Saturday
night. That was really fun. I had a good time. That might be because Jean and I were drink for drink on the wine and the beer.
They were... So Ravelry, along with some sponsors...
Their microbrews were only $3.
It's a very good party. They put together
and
a party.
And I had a cookie. That was good.
Yeah, I had a good... The cookies were good. I was worried. I thought they were going to be gross. And I went back for another one, and they were all gone, so I was bummed. They hosted a party... they had a big group of sponsors Forestry Center, which is right next to the zoo.
Yeah.
And I think I was worried, like, that 6,000 people were going to show up to it. Mm-hmm. And that it would just feel really overwhelming and crowded. But it was under a tent outdoors, so it was actually really nice.
They had an inside building, too, where some people were sitting in there, where the bathrooms were.
I never even made it inside.
Me either. It was nice. It was kind of warm that night. Yeah. So, we went, and Jess and Casey were there, of course, with Mary Heather.
Yeah.
I met Cerulea.
Right.
Yeah, she's really nice. Yeah. And I met Stephen and Mike from the Why Knit podcast.
Right.
So that was fun because Gene is friends with his knits.
Yeah.
I think baby's awake. Hold on a sec. Okay. Ravelry party. Yeah. And then they had a drawing.
Yeah, they had great raffle prizes from their sponsors.
And then as soon as they have the drawing, like, 75% of the people everyone left. Just
flooded out. And apparently, like, the first 300 or so people got a goodie bag that had a skein of Barocco vintage in it and a little notepad from Lantern Moon and a couple of other little goodies in there. I don't remember. Someone showed me what they had in there, so I was curious. And, you know, jealous. Like, you got stuff and I didn't get stuff. But, because I'm mature like that. It was really fun. There were a lot of people there, and...
they had good music. I got there, and they were playing Iggy Pop.
Yeah.
I was all right.
It was just...
Well, kind of party.
The sound system was just Casey's iPhone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It was just playing stuff off his iPhone.
Yeah. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
I had a good time, too. It wasn't too, you know, it wasn't overwhelming. And, well, so the funny thing for me being at Sox Summit was that, you know, there were a lot of, you know, my Seattle people. So people, like, I got on an elevator at the hotel, and this woman looked at me and said, "You look just like someone who works at the Fiber Gallery."
I saw so many people that shop at the Fiber Gallery. Everyone was like,
customers.
"You look familiar." And he's like, "Fiber Gallery." Yeah. Oh!
And then a lot of Pearly Girls were there.
Yeah.
And
Jean, because Jean says we never mention her. So.
Yeah, well, we can talk about Jean a lot.
Yeah.
And then I saw a lot of people that I often usually see at Madrona who are sort of not quite from Seattle, but from the Northwest. But then I also saw people that I usually only see at TNNA, like Cerulea Rose, who's on the East Coast, or Jess and Casey and Mary Heather, who are, well, not all on the East Coast, but are scattered around. And Laura Nelkin from Schaefer Yarns, who I went to elementary school with, and she lives in upstate New York. And Amanda Allen from Lorna's Laces was there from Chicago. Beth Casey was there from Lorna's. But the thing that I couldn't get we haven't talked about yet, that I just couldn't get my head around was that I would, like, walk through a door and there was Meg Swanson with Amy Dachin. And it was like, I can't believe you're here and not in Wisconsin.
My highlight was meeting Meg Swanson.
Yeah.
And Amy Dachin was right there. And so was Stephanie Pearl McPhee, hitting on her sock.
Yeah.
So Stephanie looked a little stressed out.
Yes, she did. Stephanie looked very stressed out. But yeah, that was,
she was so nice.
Meg is wonderful.
Yeah.
It was very fun for me because I felt really good. I went to her classroom to say hi to her. I'd seen Amy in the hall and gotten to say hi to her already. And I walked into her classroom, and her class was over, but she was still chatting with a few people, and she looked up and she saw me and she said, "Jessica Rose!" And she, like, you know, I gave her a hug, and then she introduced me to some people as a longtime camper, so I felt really proud of myself that I'm a longtime camper now. And I blogged about this, but my favorite moment from the Sox Summit was that I was talking to Michelle Comancho from Toots LeBlanc.
Which, I didn't buy anything there, but I'm going to buy something when she's at...
She's coming to the Seattle Knitters Guild on August 19th.
And I'm buying something there.
Yeah. And she's fabulous, and she's just a lovely person, and her yarn is gorgeous. And she and her brother Carl run the business together, and Carl lives here in Seattle. And so she was asking me about camp, and I was telling her about it, and then she was saying that she'd hoped to see Meg at the marketplace, and I sort of said, "Well, you know, Meg's not that much of a shopper. I don't know if you'll see her." And then when I left her booth, like 3 minutes later, I ran into Meg in the marketplace. So I just said, "Meg, I've got to take you to meet my friend." And Meg looked a little skeptical, but as I was sort of steering her toward Michelle's booth, I said the key words to her, which were rare breeds, which totally got her ears perked up. And I, like, swung around the corner and I said, "Michelle, I brought you Meg Swanson." And Michelle turned around and put her hand over her mouth and started to cry. So I felt... But immediately Meg was like, "Oh, you know, looking at her yarns." Her yarns are so, I mean, the yarns that Michelle does are so at Meg's alley. Meg loves natural colors. And
they're beautiful. I went by there like 3 or 4 times and I was like, I need a plan for this.
I need a plan. That's the thing. That's what I keep thinking. I definitely want to do something with her yarns, but I need.
So, yeah. So I decided what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was going to do the Estlite out of my J Blue, but the yardage isn't quite enough. So the little Estlite shawl.
I don't remember what that is.
It's like there are 2 sizes, like everyone's doing now, the small and the large. And I think it's
how do you spell that?
A E S T L I G H T.
Okay.
And I think it's,
who designed that?
I can't remember.
Okay.
And it's either traditional Faroese or Estonian, something like that. It's like a like a traditional.
Does it have a shoulder shape to it?
It's a garter stitch, and then it's got a bird's eye pattern.
Okay.
I think it is. So I thought that'd be really pretty in the.
Yeah.
Unnaturally, are you okay? Yeah. Unnaturally dyed. Or a natural colored yarn.
Yes.
God. I must still have socks on it on the brain.
Yeah, no kidding.
So that's my point.
It was fun, too, showing people pictures of Audrey, who were like, that's who makes all those little cooey noises on the podcast. So yeah. She got to meet some of her admirers.
You're famous.
Yeah, or at least they got to see pictures of her.
Yeah.
And, what else are we forgetting about that was cool? I mean, it was overwhelming. Oh, so I had talked to a few people ahead of time. I talked to some of the people at Webb's, and I talked to Ron Miskin from Buffalo Gold.
Uh-huh.
And said, you know, the person I podcast with, we're going to be here. We're thinking maybe we'll do some interviews.
That didn't happen.
When it rolled around to like, okay, I'm out of class. I'm in the marketplace. I'm done shopping. I turned to Aaron. I'm like, should we talk to people? And we were both like, nah, I'm too tired. Well, the other thing I did, I totally did myself in. Thursday night, so I had like my first class and then shopping and then dinner and whatever. And I get back to my room at like really late. It was already like 11:30 or something. Mm-hmm. And I start pulling all my stuff out for my spinning class with Judith. And I had a bag. You're laughing at me already. I had a bag with bobbins in it that I thought were empty. And when I started pulling all the stuff out for the class, I realized that the bobbins were full. So I had to ply the yarn that was on the bobbins.
So you would have empty.
So that I would have empty bobbins for class. So I stayed up until like 2 o'clock plying. And then the crazy thing was, we didn't do any plying in class, and I only used one bobbin. I didn't even need to do it.
You didn't tell me that.
No, I didn't. I didn't think about it until just now. So, yes, I was exhausted. I mean, it was really exhausting. You know, there was just like so much walking. It was kind of like going to TNNA where you're like walking, walking, walking. And I get kind of crazy at stuff like this. Like, I just want to see everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, though, that's, like, terrible, that I was, like, looking for someone at one point in the marketplace and ran into Abby Frankamont, and she's like, hey, how are you? And I'm like, I'm good. And I had, like, about a 3-word conversation with her when I saw out of the corner of my eye the person I had been, like, running around trying to find. And I'm like, excuse me, I gotta go. And, like, ran. And I felt like I spent the whole time, like, you know, so happy to see the people I was seeing, but then someone else would go by that I hadn't seen, and then it happened to me, too. I ran into someone I went to camp with. Oh, that was... I also saw a lot of people I went to camp with over the years. And she and I are chatting in the marketplace. And mid-sentence, she just says, Anna Zilberg! And, like, runs away and goes to see Anna.
I saw her walk by. She was on her way to the UPS. ship stuff home.
She was very cool. I have to say, I know people have been... You know,
she wants to come see me.
Hello. You know, I feel like Sock Summit was amazing and wonderful, but I really feel like there were a few missteps with the Luminary panel.
I talked to Jean about that.
Yeah. Jean and I discussed it. Jean and I drove home together, so we had a lot of time to kind of discuss
it. Pick it apart.
I think part of the problem... No mouse for you, baby. part of the problem was I think there were just too many Luminaries. It was wonderful to have such an amazing group of people together, but, you know, 2.5 hours with that many people on the panel.
I heard it started late, too.
It started late, and then Casey, or excuse me.
She's grabbing for your necklace.
That's okay. Stephanie and Tina did the moderation. Okay, you can come see me. Just don't pull off my necklace, okay? We're the moderators. You can look. Just don't grab.
Good luck with that.
They shouldn't have made themselves the moderators because
they needed a third party
They were tired, they were punchy, and they just weren't, you know, they're just not, that's not what they do. I mean, I think someone with a little more experience, and I felt like they sort of started with this central thesis that about how knitting has changed over the last 99 years, and they also sort of had this whole thing, this drum to beat about, you know, being women in business and how hard it is and how people don't take you seriously and, you know, the struggles that they've been through, which, I mean, I think is
totally
true.
Valid. Yeah.
But, they, you know, they kind of wanted it to be everyone's issue and baby wrangling. my favorite moment was that Meg sort of talked about some of these things and then Stephanie said to her, but, you know, how do you feel about it, you know, as a woman in business? And Meg looked at her and said, I don't know. I've never been a man. And it was just so, like, classic Meg moment. But, And then it was the 99th birthdays of Elizabeth Zimmerman, and then they sort of tried to sort of shoehorn in this whole thing about Elizabeth, which I felt like kind of put Meg on the spot.
Yeah.
And,
been awkward.
Yeah, anyway, so that, I didn't feel like that was entirely successful, and, you know, everyone was tired and really fried at that point, yeah. So I think it would have really helped to bring someone in who has had experience doing moderating a panel like this before.
And was fresh.
Yeah, a little fresher and not as emotional about it. And because it also turned into sort of a closing ceremony and a thank mm-hmm. you for everyone. But I think if I could go back in time, I think it should have just been maybe Priscilla Gibson Roberts, Meg, Barbara Walker, Anna Zilberg, you know, maybe just like kind of narrow it down a little bit mm-hmm. that, you know, not that, Lucy Neepy isn't an amazing, amazing person, but maybe, you know, give her another 20 years before she becomes a luminary or something. Yeah. And the worst thing for me was that someone in the audience asked a two-part question, and her first part of her question was excellent, and then they never got to it because they got fixated on the second part. And the first part was, who are your luminaries?
Yeah.
And they never got to answer that, and that would have been really interesting to me to hear where everyone got their inspiration from or who they admired. All right, so have we talked about Sock Summit to death?
I think so.
Okay.
It was fun.
It was great.
Yeah.
And there were...
I think I'm still recovering.
Kind of whispers about, like, that they will do it again, but nothing definite, and I wouldn't count on it happening next year for sure.
Yeah.
But
that's a big thing to get together in 1 year.
Yes. Yes, it is. So, I see your long list here. Do you want to talk about your knitting?
Yeah, sure.
Talk about your knitting.
Okay. Well, let me talk about what I finished because it's been a few weeks. So, last night I finished my Rusted Root, which I love, but I realized I must have grabbed one skein that was not the same dye lot.
Oh, no.
But it is not in a bad place.
Oh, okay.
It's like, you know, before the center of my bust. It's like the first one I knit.
Oh.
So it ends up here. So it's fine. I'd rather have it, like, you know, up above my bust instead of, like, right around my middle.
Yeah, exactly. A stripe running around your middle.
So, and if I wear my hair down, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not a huge deal.
Okay.
So I finished that. I knit Ishbel, and I finished it at Sock Summit.
Yes,
so that's kind of a nice souvenir.
And you did that in the Malabrigo sock yarn?
Yeah.
Very pretty.
And I knit a couple pairs of socks in preparation for Sock Summit. So that was Sunshine from Cookie A's new book.
Mm-hmm.
And I knit that in Blue Moon medium weight, or Socks That Rock medium
weight. Can I interrupt you for a minute to say that Cookie had a preview promotional piece for
her
a
new book
that's coming that I think is called, like, Knit Sock Love or something.
Yeah, it looks good.
It looks good. I think she's self-publishing. There was no publishing information on it.
Yeah.
And that... Isolde just announced today that she's coming out with a Whimsical Little Knits 2, and
Ooh.
She just released the first pattern today that's another little one skein shawl that she knit in the Malabrigo sock yarn that's called Damson.
I have to look at that.
Yes. Sorry.
Okay, so Sunshine out of Socks That Rock medium weight in the color Hoofle Foofle, which is like a...
which is just fun to say.
Yeah. And it's yellow, so I thought that would be good.
Yeah.
And those were super
Sunshine
easy.
Yellow.
I knit those in 4 days. Because it's only... You cast on 60 and then you increase a little bit. So that was really fast. Plus it's medium weight.
Yeah.
And then I knit the Cycling Stockings from Knitting Vintage Socks in Spud and
gorgeous.
Chloe.
Spud and Chloe.
Spud and Chloe. And I liked it.
Yeah, the fine.
Yeah. Yes.
And then you also threw in a couple of other little dribs and drabs for your color work, too, right?
Yeah, I used some leftover Koigu for the, like, one line of pink pearl, or two rows of pink pearl stitches. And then Lorna's Lace's Chocolate was the background color.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was really happy with those. And then I finished my Icicle Dream Stole.
And that was...
That's an Anne Hansen pattern from the Winter Twist Collective.
Right.
And it's knit in Dream and Color Smushy in Midnight Derby.
Mm.
I took out one repeat for each side, and I had, like, 18 inches of yarn left.
Oh,
it was super close.
Yeah.
I was kind of scared, so. And so I'm... Rusted Root was number 8 for Nanny Suemoto. I'm kind of losing steam on it, because now I feel like it's not as much of a challenge, because I'm pretty sure I could finish.
Yeah.
Like, 99% sure I can finish.
Yeah.
But I wound a couple... Skins of Cascade for my Lucy in the Sky.
Oh, cool. That'll be a fun quick knit.
She's very back and forth.
Yes,
today.
We're just trading the baby back and forth. That's okay.
So, yeah. Cool. I think I'm going to start that tonight.
And you have another whip there.
Oh, the lichen-ribbed socks. And that's in Step in that kaipi colorway.
Oh, right.
I was working on them on...
cocktail collection. Yeah. So it's like crazy bright green.
Yeah. I love it.
Limey green, yeah.
Cool. I was working on them at Knitting on Monday, and everyone was like, what is that? I love it.
That's so. Step came out in this cocktail line that are all these like super bright tropical colors with white. So mm-hmm. it's just like one color. They're not.
So kaipi is like a minty bright green.
Yeah.
And then the margarita is like a bright yellow.
And there's a hot pink and
yeah.
an orange. They're really cute.
Yeah. So, and I've never, the only self-striping yarn I've knit with is Noro. Mm. So that's my first self-striping cool. sock yarn.
I'm working on, well, Georgie is like so close to done and I just need to buckle down and I started to work on it. It's all done. I just need to sew it together.
Oh.
But I also need to, there's like you, when you're knitting the fronts, you put 7 stitches on the edge on a holder and then you pick them up later and rib them on a smaller needle and then stitch it to the front of the sweater,
oh.
which is kind of a drag.
Yeah.
So I started doing that at knitting because I also, and then I also was binding off the shoulders where I was going to do I did short rows and a 3-needle bind off, but I realized I must have done something wrong because I didn't have the same number of stitches.
Oops.
And I just didn't have the wherewithal to think about it there. I need somewhere where I can kind of spread it out and figure out what I want to do. Yes, that's my necklace.
She's pointing at it.
Yes, you are. Necklace.
She's like,
face.
That's Jenny
that's
the Potter.
Face. Yes,
huh.
That's Jenny the Potter. Yes. JTP. Okay, no pulling, though.
She's bouncing. I'm very excited about pulling your necklace
yes.
off your neck.
Working on Coraline some more. Fighting out this baby. I finished the body to the armholes, and then I started a sleeve, and I must knit much looser on double points, because my gauge went, like, crazy loose, and the sleeves were humongous.
Uh-oh.
Humongous. So I ripped back and started re-knitting them, and I caught back up to myself, so I think I've got about 7 inches of a, maybe a little bit less than 7 inches of the first sleeve done. But, you know, it goes very quickly, and stocking it in the round, love that. What else? I think that's pretty much all I've been working on. And then I started knitting that, you know, knitting again on that sock, but I think I'm just going to rip it all out. But I love that new shawl that, that Isolde came out with, and since I just purchased, like, an obscene amount of sock weight yarn, that might be a good thing to do to kind of run through a skein that I might otherwise take forever to get to.
Yeah, my bag of yarn is just sitting next to my bed, and every day I go in and look at it, and I was like, what the hell did I do?
I know. It's a little...
Although, I did get 2 skeins of the Yowza What a Skein.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm going to use that as the main color in the...
I'm a bouncing baby in my lap.
Excited.
Okay, I'm very excited. Bouncing baby. Hello.
as the main color...
Sorry,
the same color is
the
main, main color
go.
Of a percent the seamless yoke sweater, the Farrah
oh, yeah.
one.
Oh, cool.
I think that's
so. The Yowza What a Skein is Miss Babs' worsted weight.
560
and it comes in
yards.
Giant skeins.
For skein.
Yes.
So I got 2 of those.
Yes. That'll be great.
So I think that is going to be seamless yoke sweater.
Cool.
For how seamless yoke sweater. Yeah.
Should we talk books and movies?
Sure.
Talk books.
Okay, I read Air Affair and I loved it.
The
I thought it was
before.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So is that the first of those 2?
I think
what's
so.
What's her name? Tuesday Next or?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes.
Yes.
Tuesday Next. Thursday Next.
Thursday Next.
Thursday
okay.
Next.
Sorry. Tuesday Weld. Thursday Next.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I read the book 3 of a series of unfortunate events,
oh,
which
yeah.
I read the first 2 a while ago.
Yeah.
The Wide Window, and I think I'm done with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard they kind of peter out.
Yeah. It's like the same thing over and over, so.
Yeah. I am, I'm reading.
What are you doing?
Percy Jackson. I finished the second book, Sea of Monsters, and I started the third book, the Titan's Curse. I was going to say the Clash of the Titans, but that's all right. Titan's Curse, yes. And they've, come out with a teaser trailer for the movie, for The Lightning Thief. which looks pretty cute. And I saw another trailer for another book series that my son loves that he kept saying, they're really cool, they're really cool. And I was like, yeah, yeah, whatever, because it's called Cirque du Freak. And the first book is called The Vampire's Assistant. But now that I've seen the trailer, it looks kind of awesome. It's got John C. Reilly in it.
Oh, as nice. The vampire. I love him.
And Willem Dafoe's in it, and Salma Hayek. And, like,
wow.
It looks, like, kind of interesting. So, who knows?
What are you doing?
Baby, back to me. Jessica. Back to me. Anyway, so that's what I've been reading. And then,
I watched Coraline last night.
Yeah, which
I liked it.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah. Yeah. Although, the DVD I got from Netflix had damage on it somewhere. So, like, right in the big fight scene, like, when she turns the room into a web, it skipped.
Oh.
So I was like, damn it.
That, I had a disc from Netflix. I was watching the last episode of the season and series finale of The Shield, and like 5 minutes toward the end, the disc froze up, and Wes just started laughing at me. But we were able to, like, we only ended up missing a couple of seconds. We skipped ahead. We had a really crazy, wheezy baby here. Jumping up and down. Okay. Yeah, anyway, I'm sorry. So, Coraline. Okay.
And then I watched The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
Yep.
That was good. I really liked it.
It was really interesting. I liked it a lot.
And Noah and I were debating whether or not that was an actual Western. I was like, it's got cowboys and robbery and stuff. And he's like,
they're not really cowboys, though.
No.
They're just robbers. They're, you know, it's...
But it's set in the Midwest. So I'm like, he's like, but it's not about land, because they're always about land. And it's like, no, they're not. So we had a long debate about whether it can be classified as a Western or not.
I don't know if it could.
It's a drama.
And it's certainly not shot like a conventional Western.
Yeah.
You know, it's much more meditative and kind of along the lines of Dead Man or something. Have you seen Dead Man? We talked about this when I watched. You should get that. Okay. It's a Jim Jarmusch with Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah.
You'd like
it. Yeah.
It's stunning.
I love Jim Jarmusch, so.
Yeah.
The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance with John Wayne. It was good.
And that's Jimmy
Stewart. And Jimmy Stewart. Yeah. It was good. I liked it. And then I rewatched Vertigo the other night because it's on Watch Instantly.
And, you know, you can never watch Vertigo too many times because it's awesome.
I think it's my favorite Hitchcock.
It could be close to my favorite Hitchcock.
Because it's got, like, a little bit of a supernatural bent, which I like.
Yeah.
And then it's a drama and it's a mystery and it's...
And it's got really great costumes.
Got really great costumes. And it's, a little bit of weird... effed up romance, kind
of. I think Rear Window might be my favorite.
Yeah, I love that one,
too. Because that's got Grace Kelly in it, and you just can't beat Grace Kelly.
It might, Vertigo or To Catch a Thief. I really like To Catch a Thief.
Yeah.
Because she's got that awesome ball gown in that one.
Yeah. And, you know, and Cary Grant. You can't beat Cary Grant.
Yeah. But Vertigo, I was watching it, and I was like, oh, they're in San Francisco. And they go to the Palace of the Legion of Honor, which I went to in high school with my French class, like, several times. It was, like, a yearly thing. So that was interesting. I totally forgot that it was in San Francisco.
Oh, cool. So. Well, let's see. Last night I went to the movies. I went with Pearly Girls. I went with Sasha and Sharon and Katie. And we went to see Julie and Julia.
Yeah, I wanted to go, but Noah has band practice Wednesday night.
But it was really, you know, it was well done. It was very fluffified. I've read Julie Powell's book and My Life in France by Julia Child, the two books it was roughly based on. And they really, it's kind of funny because they really went for showing Julia Child as a, you know, kind of like vital, lusty, you know, fascinating woman. And they really went for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made Julie Powell kind of wimpy and... And if you read her blog and if you read her book, that is not what she was like. I mean, she is cursing up a storm and, like, just really, you know... I mean, a funny, interesting person. And they made her a really wussy, whiny person in the movie, I thought, which kind of bugged me. But, and I heard a lot of people talk about how it was nice to see the portrayal of, romance in a marriage, particularly with an older couple, where you see, the way you see it with Julia and Paul Child.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really true. Like, you just don't see, like, that, you know, people over 30 have sex and...
Yeah. She's so excited that you're here.
Yes, she is. I just see a couple that is, like, really romantically in love with each other and not in a real lasting sort of way and not in a fluffy, stupid movie kind of way. So that was... I liked that aspect of it. And the food. Oh, my God. It was, like, total food porn. And then another movie, speaking of porn, that I saw somewhat recently that I don't think I got to talk about on the podcast yet is a film called Hump Day, which is by a local filmmaker, Lynn Shelton. And it's shown at Sundance and at Cannes. And it is based on a true fact that here in Seattle, The Stranger, one of our all-weekly paper, hosts every year an amateur porn festival called Hump. And so the concept in the film is that these two guys, these two old friends, decide they're going to make a film for this festival, and that their sort of angle on it is that they're going to be two straight guys who will film, like, a gay porn film with themselves. And it sounds like an awful, icky concept, but it's actually really well done. It's a very funny film, and it's another film that I think deals pretty honestly with... portrays a married couple in a very honest sort of way that That's you don't good. Usually see in films.
Yeah.
To the extent that Wes, who knows the filmmaker, wrote to her later, like, so how long have you been, you know, surveilling our house? that you just sort of felt like some of the conversations were very real, but it was very funny and really well done. So I like that a lot. And I've been watching a ton of stuff online, but I could just rattle on for a while, but, I will spare you all that.
Okay. The last thing, the food porn, that reminds me. I watched Volume 6 of No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain.
Your boyfriend.
My boyfriend. He has a food porn episode in this one, which is, like, really totally...
Whoa.
She's totally spazzing out. Yeah, I don't know.
There's just, like, a little hair here I'm trying to get out of. All right, you can have that cat hair. That's yours.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the first one.
No, it wouldn't.
And that was really good, and I was watching the Sri Lanka episode, and I was like, I really want to go there when there's not a civil war.
Yeah. I think I saw that episode just on TV a while back.
Because I love curry, and it's not, but it's not Indian curry.
Yeah.
It's kind of a regional difference.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, that was a lot of talk.
That was a lot of talk. All right.
I think we squeezed it all in.
Yes.
So hopefully we'll be recording more regularly now.
Yes, now that all the summer vacation-y, well, it's almost over. I've still got more summer vacation to go, although this summer's, like, over already. I don't know why. So, and we can talk, we've got it. Oh, we didn't talk about all the new stuff that's out. Okay, I just have to give a brief plug. Yesterday, all the Classic Elite fall books came in, including Jared Flood's book,
Made in Brooklyn.
I know you do. Some of ours were water damaged, but there's more on the way. And all the, I mean, I just love this set of books. We got 7 books from them, and they're all, like, fabulous. And they all have great stuff in them. I'm really happy with those. Well, next time we'll have to come back and talk about the new Interweave, the new Vogue knitting. There's so much new. We just got Madeline Tosh sock in the shop, which is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous stuff, which, love, like, Tosh. Just what I need now is more sock yarn. I don't know. We got silky alpaca lace from Classic Elite, and their bulky organic cotton called Sprout, and just tons of new stuff.
We'll talk about it next time.
More
in depth.
Yes.
So, thanks for listening.
Yes.
And we have a Ravelry group on Ravelry called Double Knit.
Yes.
And we
have show notes that are available on our blog at doubleknit.net.
Yeah, and yeah.
We'll see you soon.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Shared a cigarette for breakfast. Shared an airplane ride for lunch. Sitting in between a ghost and a walking bowl of punch. Then you play a little hunt. On landing, well, I predict we'll have a drink. Lost my money on a first hand, got burned on a big fat king. And your ears just won't ring, and your eyes just won't close. Nothing changing, I suppose.
sports junkie, caught down in a Southern trust. Hey, look at the funny monkey, put a silver in his cup, and your silver turns to rust in your secondhand clothes. Trust no one, I suppose. It's too late to turn back. Change.